Number one. Again, I want to say thank you for coming and being part of this morning's service here at Sharon Baptist Church. What a great blessing it is to have you here with us this morning. Continue to be praying as you pray for me. No doubt Pastor James is about ready to start preaching as I am now. Pray for him that God would empower him, fill him, and use him to preach the gospel to that church where he's at today. And then as well, pray for those that are traveling. Many are away. A lot are away. You see our choir only had five or so people in it. Normally there's all the seats are filled, and so you pray for them. Some aren't feeling well, and maybe they got the turkey hangover. I'm not sure. Not wild turkey. I said turkey. Amen. Turkey hangover. I don't mean the alcohol hangover. I trust us believers that we don't have any alcohol hangovers. We only have a turkey hangover. Pray for them. Amen. Look forward to seeing everyone back again at this coming week. Well, Mark's gospel account is shorter than all the other gospel accounts. He spends no time on preliminaries. He gets straight to the point, and he gets there very quickly. Notice in verse number one, the Bible said, in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is determined, literally here in this passage, to leave no room for mistakes concerning the person of his master. And right away, he gives Jesus Christ the full title. And he said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, in other words, the Savior of the world. Christ, the Messiah, the divinely appointed prophet, priest, and king. And then he concludes with these words, the Son of God, the revealer of the Father, you might say, the incarnate deity, the God-man himself. So just like Mark, we must be right in our identity of Jesus Christ as well, or we won't have any gospel to proclaim. If you have a false understanding of who Christ is, guess what? You'll be giving out a false gospel. So then Mark introduces us, John the Baptist, whose ministry was to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. And the world really is not so different than the world then than the world is today. It's mostly made up of religious and non-religious people, and most of which who do not know the Lord or not don't even know the Heavenly Father. The heathen of the day liked their sin, and they didn't want Jesus Christ. And the religious of the day didn't think they needed Jesus Christ. They thought they had it all covered. So when Christ came, he was rejected by his own people, the Jews, and rejected by the heathen Gentiles alike. Let me just say this. They were not ready for Christmas. So the question I have for you and I today as we move from Thanksgiving season into the holy holiday season of Christmas, let me ask you this. Are you ready for Christmas? I'm not asking whether you completed your shopping list yet or even if you got started. I'm not asking you if you have your Christmas tree up or your holiday decorations in your house and whatever you do. I'm not asking you about that. I'm not even asking about if you thought about what you're going to cook on Christmas Day. That's not what I'm asking you this morning. I'm simply asking you this question for us to understand this, that when Christmas comes, as Christ comes to us, will you receive Christ or will you reject Christ? And these four gospel books were written to give the world literally the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why John the Baptist preached the good news of Christ's coming. And this morning I want us to understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ prepares you and I for Christmas. Having said that, then let's stand as we give respect to the reading of the scriptures in Mark chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in Mark 1 down through verse number 8 and then pray as we think on this thought, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? The Bible says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out from him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair, and the girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, Father, I'm asking you as I stand and preach the word that you have laid upon my heart for your people this morning, Father, that you would empower me with the same Holy Spirit of God, no doubt you're filling Pastor James with this morning. So, Father, I pray as the Word of God is preached and is taught this morning, Father, not only here but in the other junior church ministries, as the lessons are taught in the nursery as well, Father, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God will work in our hearts. And, Father, here in the auditorium this morning, as we think on this thought, Father, are we ready for Christmas? Father, may we take a hard look inside each and every one of us this morning to make sure that we are ready for Christmas. We are ready for Christ. So, Father, I pray that you'll be with those who are away again and those not feeling well. And, Father, I pray now that you'll bless in a very unusual way this morning, and we'll seek to give you honor and glory for all that you do in our hearts and lives this morning. Save the lost, Father. Strengthen the needy. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Remember, the gospel prepares us for Christmas. Notice the origin of the gospel found in verse number 1. The gospel came from heaven. It wasn't man's thought, but it was God's thought. Listen, I'm thankful for that, because man has a way of changing the truths of God's word into what suits them. And so we find oftentimes down through the years that the preaching of the gospel is not the true gospel. It's changed by man. Man adds works and baptism. Man does all kinds of things. Man interprets the scriptures wrongly and takes one verse here and one verse there and tries to formulate a doctrine from God. I thank God that the gospel came down from heaven, and it was not man's thought, but it was God's thought. The gospel came to destroy the works of the devil, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, and also provide a way of mankind that we might be restored or redeemed back to God. It was far beyond the realm of any possibility that of any man that God would send his son, Jesus Christ. And this method of carrying out the plan was equally God's. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't your plan. It was all God's plan. Understand this, that the Creator became a creature. God came to you and I in human flesh. In our Sunday school class, we've been studying the book of John. And John chapter 1 and verse 14, Pastor James has thoroughly went through this verse of Scripture. And the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And notice these words, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, we see that the gospel came from heaven, but then notice something else. The gospel is not a man-made religion. It isn't just something that someone came up with a long time ago. It's a response of a loving Creator who has chosen to redeem back his creation, back to himself, through his Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Understand this, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection is not a man-made religion. It's a God-given truth as found in our Bibles today. So I guess the question, first of all, we have this morning, are we ready for Christmas? And if you're here today and do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I would simply have to say this. No, you are not ready for Christmas. You're not ready for the Messiah. You're not ready for Jesus Christ. Understand this. This Christmas celebration prepares us for Jesus Christ. Well, not only do we have the origin of the gospel, but notice something else this morning. Notice the preparation of the gospel in verse number 2. The Bible said it's written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This preparation for the gospel began before the first promise to Adam and Eve. You see, the fall had already taken place, first Eve and then Adam. Well, let's just turn there and let's read some scriptures. Turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3 this morning. Return to a familiar passage of Scripture, Genesis chapter 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 6 as we think about the fall of man. This preparation for the gospel on earth began with the first promise to Adam and Eve. Notice Genesis 3 and verse number 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, Thy woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gavest me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, Thy serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. When it seemed that they had lost everything, when it seemed that their world was coming crashing down because of the deceitfulness of sin in their life, God came to them with a promise of a seed, that one who would crush his enemy. Look down in verse number 15. The Bible said, I put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Heal. So here we find the preparation for the gospel on earth began with that very first promise to Adam and Eve. From that point on, the worship that was directed towards God Almighty was an anticipation and fulfillment of the proto-evangel here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. So we find that the preparation for the gospel began with that first promise, but then notice it continued with the sacrificial offerings, the bleeding lambs. Each time an offering that was made, death was the picture of the one who had died for them. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each time the blood was sprinkled, it was a picture of the blood of the Lamb of God that would take it away of the sin of the world. And it began with that blood that was shed by God there in the garden to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, and would continue until the day that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, where Jesus was the messianic lamb according to that wonderful chapter in Isaiah chapter number 53. So we find that it was promised, but then notice it was predicted by the prophets, and now it had come to pass. This message of the gospel of Jesus Christ had been proclaimed throughout history. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Even in the book of Micah, chapter 5, and verse number 2, the Bible says, But thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah, though thou be little among those of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You see, these Old Testament prophets prophesied everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could take hours and hours and hours to share with you the prophecy the Old Testament prophesied. Suffice to say, they prophesied about everything. They prophesied about his birth. They prophesied about his life. They prophesied about his death. And thank God they also prophesied about his resurrection from the dead. Nothing was left to chance. Nothing was left to circumstances. It was all in God's plan. It was all in God's purpose. And the goal was to secure salvation for all mankind. Titus 2 in verse number 3 says this, "For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men that hath appeared unto all men." So I guess the question again for you this morning is simply this. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you believed that gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, not only do we see the origin of the gospel, not only do we see the preparation for the gospel, notice thirdly in verses 2 through 8, notice the forerunner of the gospel. John the Baptist had one mission, and his one mission was to prepare for the coming Jesus Christ to come. In Isaiah 40, in verse number 3, we find these words from the prophet, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." As a matter of fact, John did his job so well that Jesus Christ was said there was no greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. In Matthew 11, in verse 11, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you," this is Christ speaking, "among them that are born of a woman hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So what was John the Baptist's ministry like? What was it all about? Well, in verse number 2, we find his mission was foretold. The one who was to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ had himself been foreshown a long time before that. And the appearance of one answering to the prophetic announcement was to be a sign that a greater one than John the Baptist was already here. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 1, that great prophet pens these words down, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, said the Lord. Whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So his mission was foretold. But then notice in verse number 3, speaking about John the Baptist, we find that his preaching was appropriate. John the Baptist's message was straightforward. It was unmistakable. If you were to stand on the riverbank of Jordan and hear John the Baptist preach, you would clearly understand what he had to say. And John stood boldly as a preacher of righteousness in the midst of, the Bible says, a perverse and a crooked generation. In his cry, he cried out, "Repent ye." He called his listeners to personal action. He thought it was more important to show that you have repented than just to say that you have repented. His ministry was appropriate, but in verses 4 and 5, we find this. His ministry was a success. Never before had the souls of the people been so stirred toward God and stirred toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to get back to some preaching. Repent ye in the name of the Lord. Maybe we need to get back to some preaching of hellfire and damnation. Maybe we need to get back to some preaching of the judgment seat of Christ for Christians. Maybe we just need to get back to some preaching and teaching of God's word that exhorts his church to go out and win souls to Jesus Christ. Several of his messages no doubt stirred the apostles. And these men later on became apostles of Jesus Christ. Bible literally says they turned the world upside down. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, "These be they that have turned the world upside down or come hither also." I wonder, my friend, could that be said about you? Could that be said about me? Could that be said about your spouse and your family, that you have turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, his appearance was befitting, found in verse number 6. The personal appearance of John the Baptist was in perfect harmony with all the truths that he proclaimed. He was different from the religious crowd of the day. Thank God that he was different. My friend, you and I are called to be separate. We're called to be different. As you look at yourself, as you prepare ourselves for Christmas, we ought to understand this, that we are to be different than the world. John the Baptist didn't wear the flowing robes or the golden adornments. If you think about his appearance, his message was straightforward and simple enough for everybody to understand. And many so-called religious leaders down through history have complicated this simple gospel message of repentance and putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've added their works, they added rites, they added commands, they added water baptism, they added communion. But understand this, that the Bible teaches us that it's not by that. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2, and let's look in verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. I want you to follow along as I read it this morning, as we understand that the gospel is a simple message. Notice what it says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not, let me repeat that, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So I'm here to tell you this morning, if you were thinking that you were on your way to heaven because you attend church, you'd be wrong. If you're thinking that I keep most of the Ten Commandments and I'm going to get to heaven by doing that, you would be wrong. You could be thinking that, listen, I've been baptized. I went forward one day. I prayed some kind of prayer. Listen, you'd be wrong in thinking that we are not saved by our works of righteousness. Titus 3 and verse 5 says this, not by our works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so, my friend, when we think about us being ready for Christmas, we need to think about this and understand that there it's more than just having a belief. It is receiving what Christ has done for us. Well, his appearance was befitting. Thank God for that. And the gospel was simple as this in Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that wonderful verse our Savior spoke in John 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Well, we see fifthly, John the Baptist was true to his calling in verses 7 and 8 this morning. He was popular enough that he could have easily become the founder of a new religious sect. He was very popular, had a large following, and he could have simply desired to turn from God and not be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he could have went out and had his own call and his own following. Think about this. John was the son of Zacharias, a very highly respected priest of Judah. But John never wavered one time in his testimony, and he never dreamed of getting any honor and any glory for himself. As a matter of fact, he maintained this, that he was the only a messenger for the Messiah, that he himself was not the Messiah. As a matter of fact, John didn't even think he was worthy to loose the shoes of the Lamb of God. Notice in verse number 7, speaking about John the Baptist, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I don't know about you, that speaks of a very humble person that said, I'm not even worthy to unlace the sandals of the one that's coming before me. You see, John wanted the people to be ready to accept Christ as he came to earth. Well, as we close this message this morning, this month of December is about to arrive in just a couple of days. We'll mark it down as December the 1st. And this is the time of year that we ought to remember and, of course, celebrate the birth of our Savior. So the question I have for you again this morning is, are you ready? Remember, the gospel prepares us for Christmas. John the Baptist urged people of his days to get ready for the Messiah. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for the gospel. Without it, there'd be no plan for our salvation. There'd be no possibility of our redemption. John prepared the people of his day for the coming of Christ by what he said and by what he did. So again, the question for you this morning is, are you ready for Christmas? It's coming whether you like it or not. You can't stop it. So, my friend, I would urge you to be ready for the coming of Christmas and Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth to become our Savior and our Lord. Have you received him as such? Each time that we think about the first coming of Christ, we're reminded again that Jesus teaches us that he is coming back again. But the next time he comes, he's coming in judgment. Are you ready for Christ to come? In Revelation 22 and verse 12, Christ says this, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Are you ready for Christmas? Let's pray.